Good evening, those, or good afternoon, or good morning, whatever time of day it is that you're listening to this sermon. This is Ted Marshall. I'm associate pastor here with Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church. And today we're going to be talking about, today's service, we're going to be talking about, we are here to serve. And before I start the service, I want to talk about, the Lord gives you a sign every now and then, and He reinforces these signs when you're on the right track. Yesterday, when I finished my sermon Saturday afternoon, I've been working on it all day, and I worked on it Friday, and I worked on it for the last couple weeks. I've been putting pieces together of things I wanted to say, and sometimes you get to the point, and you go, okay, I got it, and you go, you know, that's not it, and you start over. Maybe it's because I'm dyslexic. I don't know. But sometimes you start things and you say, I don't want to go someplace else with this. But you'll get a sign. I finished the sermon yesterday. Had everything, all my notes put out, my outline and everything. And I said, okay, I'm done. Now let me check my email. So I check my email. And the first email that pops up is from a good friend of mine, Bill. And Bill sends this to me, and Bill's the one that provided me the trailer and the golf cart and so forth when I went and ministered over at the Veterans Reunion in Melbourne. And he said, Ted, I just wanted to tell you that that I love you. And so I got three things I want to thank you for. I want to thank you for, one, being my friend, two, your time in Vietnam, and three, your love of the Lord. He says, all the emails that you send me, all the things that you send me, your sermons and so forth, I pass on to my family. And I pass on to my friends. And he said, the most important thing I want to thank you for is bringing me and my family closer to God. Mm-hmm. And that's what, that told me right away, okay, this is the right sermon. Thank you, Lord, for the sign. This is right for today. This morning when we came in and went to Sunday school, and Drew was doing Sunday school this morning, and he starts talking about serving, how we should serve the Lord. I had to stop him. I said, Drew, you're not going to believe this, but guess what the title of my sermon is today? We did not discuss this.
Yeah, it's incredible.
You know, and the same thing happens every now and then when I'm, a lot more often than not, when I'm teaching Sunday school. I don't know what Mark's sermon is. I have not seen his notes or seen the take-it-homes or so forth. But we're on the same line. That we're in the same communication. The same with Linda. That we are on the same track. It sounds like the same song. Except one singing bass, one singing tenor. But it's all together. What a remarkable, remarkable Lord that we serve. And the reaffirmation that He gives us each day that, yeah, you're going the right way. And I'll give you a sign. I'm going to let you know. You know, Jesus told us the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Now, this reality alone sent the disciples into confusion. And how in the world could that possibly be? Jesus also said, He who is last among you is the greatest. That's in Luke 9:48. This world's thinking, more often than not, we put ourselves first above others. And most of the people, most of the way that people think. We puff out our chests and do what we do for notoriety, for fame, for rewards, for adoration of our peers. But here's a news alert. You're nothing compared to the one we need to be like. Most everyone seems to, quote, like Jesus, but they don't really understand. So you don't just like Jesus as you would a friend on Facebook or any other social media. By the same token, you just don't unlike Him either. As you would a friend by simply because you disagree with Him. We need to be more like Him. Some attempt to silence the teaching of Jesus by seeking for themselves and omitting and twisting His words. They change the meanings because what He said doesn't settle well in their soul. Not serving themselves is the greatest wall they cannot get over. they can't get over themselves. The way of Jesus is the path of servanthood. This is not a test to see if we deserve better. It's God's offering us the best of himself and the best of life. Jesus calls us to be the servant's way because it was and is, he is a servant to all of us. In Romans 12:3, "For by the grace of God given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Also in Romans 12:9-13, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." You know, I have an example here that I'm going to tell you about servanthood, but before I do that, I want to say that we see every day the people that are in need. We see every day that people are in want. We also see every day that people that deny Christ. How can they be saved? How can we turn that light on in their heart? Well, folks, we can't do it. I hate to say this. We cannot turn that light on. The light has to be turned on by the Lord. But we can tell them where the light switch is. We can tell them where they can go to turn that switch on. We can't do it for them. So what we need to start praying about is, where is the switch? Do we need to look for the switch to be able to turn that on for them? In the song that Carolyn was talking, we were talking about being shaken. I'm shaken, and we were talking about, what was the song, "Shaken by the Lord," or "I'm Not Be Shaken"? Well, you know what? Maybe we should be shaken. And I think James Bond had it wrong. He said, "Shaken, not stirred." Well, James Bond, you got it wrong. We should be stirred. We should be stirred up by the Lord. We should be stirred in our heart, and we should be stirred to go out and preach the word and talk the word and spread the light, or spread the how to turn that light switch on. So James Bond, with all due respect, you're wrong. You can be shaken. I'm going to be stirred. You know, as everybody knows, I'm a dog man, and it just kind of blesses my heart to see a representative of our canine. He's a small little representative, but he's there, and he's giving comfort. He's a little bitty therapy dog. They look more like barking bean babies than they do beanie babies than they do dogs. But I'm glad that he's here. And if his little heart can hear this, I hope he does. I wanted to share this with you. And when his best friend was put down, this 6-year-old said something that amazed everybody. Now, the title of this piece is "A Dog's Purpose According to a 6-Year-Old." And before I start this, I want to say there was a time why I experienced what this little boy experienced as an adult. And I had to take my best friend, and Carolyn was with me, and we had to put him down. And briefly, what happened then compared to now, if I knew now and had the Lord in my heart now, I would have understood then what was going on and why it happened. a brief story. In the canine corps in Vietnam, we weren't allowed to bring our dogs home. Our canine partners were left behind. Our canine partners were put to sleep or given to the South Vietnamese troops. Now, this is a partner. It's not just a dog. He's not a pet. He was my partner. He was part of me. How many times, as a mother knows this, how many times do you take care of your little one? You clean up after him. You feed him. When they're sick, you take care of them. You take the little ones and you dump them in flea dip in case... Well, no, I'm sorry. You dump the dogs in flea dip. But you take care of them, and they become part of you. After doing this, you know, a couple hundred times, there's a kinship there beyond just the dog's ability to save your life every night when you do patrols or you're on a security patrol. Well, it took me a long time to have another German Shepherd after Vietnam and after the war. I could not even look at the eyes of that breed of animal, and my heart didn't break. Because in those eyes, I saw eyes looking back at me that I'll never see again. That's what I thought. Until my dog Casey came into my life, my German Shepherd. He came in at 9 weeks old. And we were just blessed. He came in my life. He grew huge. 127-pound German Shepherd. Smarter than me. Better looking than me. You know. Probably smelled better than I did. But he was such... And I didn't know it back then, but God provided me a therapy dog. He provided something that helped heal that hurt, that disconnect that I had, that anxiety of something left that I'll never see again. He provided that for me. And in times of trouble, when my life was falling apart, he was there. My ex-wife, when she took everything and I was left with not much at all, I still had Casey. When I moved and went down to South Florida, the Fort Myers area, Casey was there. And I had a chance. I was invited to march in a parade representing the Canine Corps. And we got excited about this. This was a huge parade. It's an Edison Festival of Lights parade, one of the seventh largest parade in the country. And then I get a call from the parade committee saying, well, dogs aren't allowed in the parade. You can't march. My heart was broke. You can carry a little sign that says Canine Corps, but you can't walk with the dog. Well, I was mad. Beyond that, I was really upset. I was about ready to go postal. But I started going to the VFW, the American Legion. I figured, I'm going to try to get some help here. And I went to the VFW and the American Legion, a couple of places like this. I told them, I came in there and I did a slideshow about the Canine Corps. I told them all about the Canine Corps for folks that didn't know about what they did, the history of them. And I was starting to get support. Hey, and I told them at the very end that I wanted to be in that parade. The first place, this one of the few places I walked into that really changed my life was I walked into the Vietnam Veterans of America meeting. And the first thing they said to me when I walked in with Casey and the canine dog, they said, welcome home. You're home. And they said, we have a color guard. Casey will be part of our color guard. He will march right next to the rifle, or he will replace the rifleman next to the American flag. And they're not going to mess with our color guard. Wow. Well, this letter went out to the parade people and saying that he was part of the Vietnam Veterans of America color guard. They still said no. Fox News got a hold of it. And they really told the story of, you know, why, the whole story. Why weren't they letting this veteran march with his canine partner? They still said no. After the Fox News story hit, I started getting phone calls and letters from all over the country inviting me and my canine dog to march in the parades. Mm-hmm. We accepted to march in the St. Patrick's Day parade in Savannah, Georgia, which is the second largest parade in the country. Now, Savannah, Georgia is a wonderful, beautiful place. Mm-hmm. Old time South. Gorgeous old town. Big military town, too. Big military town. I know the Rangers are there. And
Savannah is the 24th Infantry.
Uh-huh.
And it's a big base.
It's a big, big place.
Yeah.
The guys from the Vietnam Veterans of America up there heard the story on Fox and called me up, invited me and our color guard from Fort Myers to come up there and march in the parade.
Wow.
So we went up there. I didn't know that they had a surprise for me. I didn't know what they had set up there. All I knew that I was happy I was going to be able to go up there and march with my dog, Casey. There's a wall in Savannah, Georgia that has 125 names on it of Vietnam veterans that were killed in the war from Savannah. In the parade, they have color guards, and behind the Vietnam veterans color guards, they have 125 veterans with a name tag of a name of a person that's on that wall. And they march behind that, representing the names on that wall. Well, as we lined up before the parade starts, they called us over, and they're giving everybody a name tag that has a name of somebody that's on the wall. And they gave me one. And I said, well, thank you very much. I'll be very proud to march for this our fallen soldier. And as I walked away, they said, Ted, come here. We got one more. As I walked over there, they gave me another name tag. And this wasn't for me. It was for Casey, my German Shepherd, to carry. It was the name of my dog in Vietnam, Sandy. And the years that I served with him. And they gave that tag to me. And I said, oh, Lord. I put the tag on Sandy, on his collar. And I said, Casey, you're marching for a real important soldier. Casey's much smarter than I ever was. His chest, big barrel chest that he had, just puffed out. He stood there like, I know. I knew all about this, Ted. You didn't know. I know. So I stepped off in that parade. I led the parade out with Casey in the front, all the color guards behind me. So I stepped off on that parade. It was a 5-mile march. I remember about the first 100 yards. Mm-hmm. Remember walking the first 100 yards. I think I floated the rest of it. My feet didn't touch the ground. Neither did Casey's. We were floating on a cloud. People were running up to us. And people were in the audience. And they were pointing at Casey and go, there's Casey. There's the canine dog. There's the canine dog. And people came out of the stands and ran up to me and held me and kissed me. Girls did. And men just hugged me. And they said, welcome home. Welcome home. And as I marched down that parade, and Carolyn was following along. She was walking along the sidewalk watching all this going on. And she can tell you herself that it was just amazing. And I was just blown away. What I found out is the guys from the Vietnam Veterans of America, Savannah, Georgia, went on every radio show they could, newspaper articles and everything else, talking about the Canine Corps, talking about what they did. Guys that were there that experienced how the canine dogs had saved their lives, other troops that saw the canine units work, were on the radio saying, yes, these dogs did this. I was a witness. I saw this. They knew all about it, and they knew all about me. And they knew all about Casey and what he meant to me. We had a situation where when Casey got older and was real sick, and it came to a time where I had to put him to sleep. And Carol and I both went to the veterinary's office. We brought Casey with us. And he was laying down, and I fed him some treats and was just petting him and laying there beside him. And Carolyn was with me. And the veterinarian put the needles in him. And I saw he was licking my hand, and he was looking right at me. And I could see the lights going out. I could see him pass away. And when I went home, I went right to a bottle. I had a beer. I didn't care. My heart was broke. I went out to the garage. I had Casey's bed. Now, his bed, he didn't sleep in the garage. He slept in a little mat next to me. But we had put the mat out there, and I sat in his mat. And my heart was broke. Why would they take him? Why couldn't you stay with me? A good friend of mine, Carolyn, was, God bless her heart, her heart was broke too. Doubly broke, because she loved Casey. She loved me. A friend of mine came over from the Vietnam Veterans of America. His name is Barry. We call him the rabbi. Barry came to my house and sat down with me in the garage. We put the whiskey bottle away and we put that away. And he just sat there and talked to me and told me how special it was for him to know me and Casey. I didn't know the Lord like I know him now. I didn't know the Lord and have the strength of the Lord in me that I have now, because I didn't know some very important things. When his best friend was put down, the six-year-old said something that amazed everyone. A dog's purpose according to a six-year-old. A veterinarian was called to examine a 10-year-old Irish wolfhound named Belker. The dog's owner, Ron, and his wife, Lisa, and their little boy, Shane, were all very attached to Belker, and they were hoping for a miracle. The veterinarian examined Belker and found he was dying of cancer. The vet told the family that they couldn't do anything for Belker and offered to perform the euthanasia procedure for the old dog in their home. Ron and Lisa told, they said they thought it would be a good idea for the six-year-old Shane to observe the procedure. But it felt as though Shane might learn something from the experience. The next day, the veterinarian felt a familiar catch in his throat that the doctor had felt before as Becker's family surrounded him. Sorry, I cut my page upside down here. Shane seemed so calm, petting the old dog for the last time, that the vet wondered if he really understood what was going on. Within a few minutes, Belker slipped away peacefully away. The little boy seemed to accept Belker's transition without any difficulty or confusion. We sat together for a while, and after Becker's death, wondering aloud about the sad fact that animals' lives are shorter than human lives. Shane, the little boy who had been listening, quietly piped up, "I know why." Startled, we all turned to him, and what came out of his mouth next stunned us. The veterinarian recalls having never heard a more comforting explanation. The little boy said, "People are born so they can learn how to live a good life, like loving everybody all the time and being nice, right?" The six-year-old said. He said, "Well, dogs already know how to do that, so they don't have to stay as long." What are you doing in your stay? Are you really living the life that Christ planned for you? God has a good and pleasing and perfect plans for His children. He wants us to be transformed people with renewed minds, living to honor and obey Him because He wants only what is best for us and because He gave us His Son to make our new lives possible. We should be joyful and serve all. Today, I ask you, start anew. If you are a believer and have accepted Jesus, pray for a recharging of your love. Mm-hmm. And if you have not, let Jesus Christ into your life. Do it now. Do not let the time slip away. Mm-hmm. You may not be happy with where you're going to slip for eternity. No, you can stand with me now. If you're listening, if you're out there, you can stand with me now and raise up so you may rise up. Say with me, Jesus, fill me with the love and the Holy Spirit. Recharge me and set me on the right path. And let me serve you. And let me serve you. Know me. Because, see, Jesus does know me. He knows you. You always have, and ever, even before I was born, you knew me and had a glorious plan for me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I love you and serve you, Jesus. I love you and I serve you, Jesus. Let Him in your heart. Let Him bless your life. Don't wait. Don't wait. It took me so many years to finally understand what had happened then. All the hurts, all the things that have happened in your life before where you question why, put that aside because you will find the answers in Jesus Christ. You will find healing. You will find that Jesus will let those memories slip away and bring something new to you. And fill you up with the joy of His love. And fill you up with the strength to go on. And fill you up with the perseverance to take any obstacle, anything that comes against you, and stand in His light and in His love. As I stand here today, I'm defiant of the devil. I'm defiant of what he tries to do to us. I'm defiant of what he tries to intercede and interrupt. You know, we have a communication. We have a download of information on the internet. But do we have a download of love from the internet? No. The only place you can get the download of love for your life is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Open up that area of communication. Open your heart wide open. Download it every day. You don't have to have a server. You don't have to have a laptop. You don't even have to have a smartphone. But you need to have a smart mind to understand where that and from where that love comes from. Smarten up. Stand up. Reach up and reach out. Don't just go through the motions and emotions. Do the real thing. Love the Lord. Isaiah 52, 13 through 15. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. In 1 Chronicles 29:11, you, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Get over ourselves. We're not all that. He is. And always been. All of it. Every little bit. Albert Schweitzer once said, And if you remember, Dr. Albert Schweitzer was a famous doctor that served for many, many years taking care of sick people and in Africa. Albert Schweitzer said, "It's man's sympathy with all creatures that first makes him truly a man." We see something that's below us. We see something that's small and helpless. We see something that all it wants is affection. All it wants is love. And what it can give us is all of its devotion, all of its love, and all of its presence to be there when you need it. God created that. God put that spirit in very special little vessels, very special little living things. And he gave those to us. And he gave us to those with an open heart to accept it. And now, with a regenerated heart from the Lord, I understand why and what a gift he does give us. Even the smallest little, tiny little representative there to the big 127-pound ones here. Think of what he does for all of us when it comes to people that are around us. We are here to serve. And Lord, I rededicate myself no matter what you have for me to do ahead of time. I'm saying right now in front of everybody, in front of the Lord, in front of all that might be listening, I rededicate my life for you. It's in your hands. I know it's in your hands. And Lord, I'm just asking for one favor. Let me be your servant. Let me be your servant and how you want me to serve. I thank you for listening. And if you're out there listening and you have not accepted Jesus Christ and you want to know more about him, go to our website. Our church website, there's plenty of information there about Jesus Christ. Go buy yourself a Bible. If you got the whereas, go buy yourself a Bible, something that you can read and look at. Read it. And read it with an open heart. Any questions about Jesus? Any questions about how you can be saved? They're in there. Your task is to understand. Your task is to seek him out. Your task is, once you seek him out, is to open up. Open your heart. And I guarantee you, you will change. And your life will be much, much better. And I can tell you one other thing, that when we pass and when we slip away, we're not slipping away, we're slipping up. We're standing up, and we're going to be walking again. No pain. No pain. We'll be running. We'll be, every bit of us will be whole and new and young and strong. And I know there's a path up there that I'm going to be going on. And leading that path, I've got two partners that are up there ready for me. And they're waiting. Thank you. God bless you all. Amen.